This week, police dog sniffers, secrets of the wipers, hacking trains, your data not in Russia, Chili's breach, Electron vulnerabilities, and Signal vulnerabilities. Jason Wood from Paladin Security joins us for expert commentary on even more details on the eFail PGP vulnerability. So stay tuned for this episode of Hack Naked News.
This is Security Weekly. For security professionals, by security professionals. Broadcasting live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island, it's the show that brings you the security news each week. And despite popular belief, we do wear pants. It's Hack Naked News.
The breach was huge news at the time.
Linux monitoring tool.
List of affected devices. You can check out the link in the show notes.
Ars Technica is reporting that hackers have cracked the Nintendo Switch this week.
Tracking people's locations and stuff like that.
Figuring out where the military bases are by the United States of America. It's kind of interesting.
And not just the United States of America, as it turns out.
Do you have a website, an external presence, employees, an office? Any of these things can be compromised and attacked. How are you defending your assets? Have you penetration tested your public assets? Start 2018 by taking a proactive approach to securing your vulnerable areas. Black Hills Information Security has been helping companies find their weaknesses since 2008. Email consulting at blackhillsinfosec.com and see how they can help you sleep better at night. Welcome to Hack Naked News, episode 173 for May 15th, 2018. I'm your host, Paul Asadorian, coming to you live from G-Unit Studios in Rhode Island. Make sure you check out our on-demand material and some of our previously recorded webcast at securityweekly.com/on-demand. When you go there, because you know you want to go there, you're going to check out our latest one called The State of Endpoint Security. It was a lot of fun. Myself, Michael Santar, Cangelo, Rapid7, Minerva Labs, and Endgame also presented on that one. You should definitely check it out. It was a lot of fun. Alrighty. Now, on to the security news for this week. A police dog sniffs out a USB drive to snare a school hacker. Thanks to a trained police dog sniffing out thumb drive hidden inside of a box of tissues, a high schooler in San Francisco Bay Area suburb has been accused of hacking grades. Some students' grades got bumped up and some got elbowed down. The attack started as a phishing attack. Then a teacher then fell for that phishing attack, entered their login credentials, which was then sent to the student. The student used those login credentials and apparently forgot or didn't know to mask his or her. I don't think they released the name because it could be a male or female. The person forgot to mask their IP address. The police tracked the IP address back to a house and unleashed the electronic seeking dog and found the USB thumb drive. So right out of War Games, sort of, but not really. Secrets of the Wiper, inside the world's most destructive malware. Cisco Talos researcher Vitor Ventura, along with contributions from Martin Lee, noted in a report published Tuesday that malware with destructive payloads has been around since the early days of virus deployment. However, the delivery methods and level of destruction of wiper malware have evolved. Damage can range from overwriting of specific files to the destruction of an entire file system, and the amount of data impacted and the difficulty of the recovery process is a direct consequence of the techniques being used. Now, motives can range from covering their tracks, which also kind of gives away potentially the fact that you've been hacked when your systems are wiped, although perhaps not, and also sending political messages. It's a great read. You should go check out the research. Samsung has patched 6 critical bugs in its flagship handsets. Samsung began rolling out patches over the weekend to fix 6 critical bugs found in the Android-based handsets as part of its May patch bulletin. The flaws range from a remote code execution bug to buffer overflow vulnerabilities, plus, my favorite, a peek and poke command bug that leaves memory locations open on targeted devices. The vulnerabilities were previously disclosed by Google, many of them anyhow, and Samsung's playing catch-up, so you should probably update your devices today. Hacking a train Wi-Fi may expose passenger data and
allow evil bad guys to control systems. The research was conducted over several years, send pen tests Ken Monroe. In most cases, he says they're pretty secure, although whether the Wi-Fi works or not is another matter, he added. But in a handful of cases, Monroe was able to bridge the wireless network with the wired network and find database servers containing default credentials, enabling him to access the credit card data of customers paying for the Wi-Fi, including the passenger's name, email address, and card details. This seems to me like a similar threat that we have against airplanes, where there is a lot of speculation and perhaps no major threat. The researcher did also speculate that they could access the control systems, although there's no confirmation of that. A decade-old e-fail flaw can leak plain text of PGP and S/MIME encrypted emails. The most serious vulnerabilities reside in Thunderbird, macOS Mail, and Outlook, and have been there for more than 10 years and remain unfixed largely at the moment, although Mozilla has pledged and others to release fixes, and I believe Mozilla Thunderbird has been fixed. Flaws in the way the programs handle emails with multiple body parts make it possible to embed invisible snippets of previously obtained encrypted text in new emails. By also including the web address of an attacker-controlled server, the newly sent emails can cause the program to send the corresponding plain text to the server. The surreptitious exfiltration, say that 10 times fast, works against both PGP and S/MIME standards. The article in the show notes contains a link to the full details, including the researcher's original paper. Some vendors have actually issued patches, and Jason Wood will be on to talk more about this flaw coming up next, and maybe even the floor. Kaspersky Lab to shift U.S. customer data from Russia to Switzerland. On Tuesday, Kaspersky announced that a number of core processes will be shifted from Russia, including customer data storage systems and processing for most regions. By the end of 2019, Kaspersky Labs hopes to have moved the infrastructure used for U.S. customer data storage and processing to Zurich. Customer data from Europe, Singapore, Australia, and Japan, and South Korea will also be moved, with other countries to follow. Chili's has disclosed a breach exposing payment card information. The restaurant chain Chili's was involved in a data breach of its point-of-sale systems. Brinker International, which operates over 1,600 Chili's restaurants globally, announced the data breach on May 12th after becoming aware of the security incident the day before. The company did not reveal how many customers have been impacted by the breach, though it did state that the payment information was stolen over a two-month period. So be on the lookout for that if you ate at Chili's recently. Let's actually hope not. I hope for your sake that you didn't eat at Chili's. A simple bug could lead to a remote code execution flaw with applications built with the Electron framework. A critical remote code execution vulnerability has been discovered in the popular Electron web application framework that could allow attackers to execute malicious code on victims' computers. Electron is an open source application development framework that powers thousands of widely used desktop applications, including WhatsApp, Skype, Signal, WordPress, Slack, GitHub Desktop, Atom, Visual Studio Code, and Discord. Hackers reveal how a code injection attack works on the Signal messaging app. Signal has patched its messaging app for Windows and Linux that suffered a code injection vulnerability discovered and reported by a team of white hat hackers from Argentina. The vulnerability could have been exploited by remote attackers to inject malicious payloads inside of the Signal desktop app running on the recipient system by sending them a specially crafted link without requiring any user interaction. This appears to be limited to the Signal desktop app as reported in the vulnerability announcement. The researchers, and this part I find particularly interesting, also found that a patch, a regular expression function to validate the URLs for this vulnerability existed in previous versions of the desktop app, but somehow was removed or skipped in the Signal update released on April 10th of this year. With that, we're going to take a short break, come back, and talk about this PGP S/MIME potential, a vulnerability that impacts many popular desktop email clients. So stay tuned.
IT Pro TV, binge-worthy learning for IT teams. Why is it binge-worthy? It's learning presented in an engaging and entertaining talk show format that beats voiceover PowerPoint snooze fests. Watch over 3,300 hours of content in their on-demand library on your desktop, on the go, or in the comfort of your own living room. IT Pro TV is IT training you and your team actually want to watch, which means a better return on your learning investment. Get started with IT Pro TV for Teams by visiting itpro.tv/securityweekly. And start a 7-day free trial and get 30% off standard or premium IT Pro TV memberships using the code SECWEEKLY30. Today's determined attackers easily bypass even the most advanced network defenses. Trying to ramp up staff to detect their backdoors can cost thousands of dollars and take months, even years. With Active Countermeasures AI Hunter, we enable junior analysts to detect even the most advanced backdoors in a matter of hours. Sign up for a demo and purchase our product today by visiting activecountermeasures.com/HNN. Active Countermeasures. Make every analyst a hunter. Welcome back, everyone, to Hack Naked News. Reminder to check out our friends at IT Pro TV. That's itpro.tv/securityweekly. Over 3,300 hours of training. Make sure you go check them out. Jason Wood is here with us today on Hack Naked News to talk about S/MIME and PGP vulnerabilities and popular email clients. Jason, what's going on today, my friend?
Hey, not much, Paul. How's it going for you?
It's going fantastic.
Excellent. So yeah, I was going to spend some time talking about this this S/MIME PGP flaw.
Were you reading the Slack channel and when someone said floor and then confusing? You can't be reading the Slack channel while you're delivering the news, Jason.
Nah, I decided as soon as you made that comment that I was going to toss that in. But I thought it was funny when I saw it in the Slack channel too. So yeah, we're going to talk about this PGP issue that vulnerability that everybody's talking about. My news feed is just full of articles and blog posts and people talking about this. And I've seen conversations about it in various Slack channels that I'm in. So I started looking at this to see what is going on because, well, you know, PGP is supposed to be pretty good privacy here, right? So, you know, the idea of having a flaw in our encryption is a little concerning. And so you start looking through the, you know, I started off reading like the EFF's post where they paired up it with the researchers to announce some of this information. And, you know, one of the things that they made a comment on that caught me off guard is a quote where they give their recommendation in bold. Our advice, which mirrors that of the researchers, is to immediately disable and or uninstall tools that automatically decrypt PGP encrypted email. And you sit there and think, wait, so remove our encryption? Is that's the answer at this point? That's really not what they're saying. They're just saying that this particular functionality is a problem and that we should look at using other channels for encryption or to send secure messages. So let's take a look at really what this means to us. First question is you're looking at, you know, what is this, how does this apply to you? Is one, how often are you sending PGP encrypted emails and how are you doing that? Now, I've used it. There are times when that's appropriate for me to use PGP, but a lot of times I don't use that regularly. If I need to send something secure to somebody, then I look for a different channel. Of doing that, if nothing else, because going out and finding their public key and getting all that stuff set up can be a little bit of a pain in the rear. For those of you who do use it regularly, and there are certainly use cases for that, that's part of your workflow, right? Then you're going to need to make some changes in how you're going about transmitting sensitive data. Now, there are some caveats or requirements for this attack to take place against you. The first one is that the attacker already has to have access to your network traffic and the ability to put traffic on the network, your email server or your other systems, basically where they can intercept that email and modify it on the fly. So if that's the case, you already have some substantial problems inside your environment. And let's face it, the attacker has to be not only have that access, but they have to be targeting this particular flaw. So maybe an intelligence agency would have that type, you know, that type of goal. One of the things I thought of actually is, you know, like you're an activist for Tibet, freedom and independence or whatnot, this could be a real problem for you. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody talk about some of their experiences in that realm. It's kind of eye-opening. But you have to have the attacker has to have that level of access to it. The next part is you have to have your email client set up to use some kind of plugin or add-on to encrypt and decrypt PGP encrypted messages, and have it set to do that automatically. So instead of typing in your passphrase when that happens, that automatically happens. And your email client is pulling down remote content and rendering it automatically. So picture an HTML formatted message, right?
So, Jason, let me get this straight. If you read all of your email in plain text and you also make it so that every time you need to decrypt a message, it asks you for your password, you've basically negated the threat from this vulnerability?
So, you know, if you still type in your password, right, and you're using it inside of the email client,
yeah,
this could still happen. But if you're using plain text,
sure,
you know, where it's not HTML, then yeah, you've basically negated this entirely. Because the way the attack works is because the attacker has access to your email, you're receiving this message, and if you looked at a PGP encrypted message, you know, it's really pretty obvious that it's encrypted. You just can't read necessarily what's in there, right? And there's some boundaries that are marked inside of the message. You know, here's where the message block is going to begin. And then there's another boundary for the email that says, hey, this email is going to be text HTML, for example. And what happens is in between the, you know, after the boundary that says, hey, this email is going to be text HTML, but before the PGP block of text is loaded up, they add an image tag in there. So something like, you know, picture something like image source equal attacker.com/, and they don't close out the tag. And then you have the block of encrypted text. And then after that text is done, then they close out that tag and do double quote angle bracket. So what happens is essentially that message arrives. Your email client automatically decrypts it, or you typed in your password and decrypted it. Mm-hmm. You've got your email client set to load remote content automatically, and your email client trying to be helpful is, you know, essentially then goes to fetch this image and sends along the entire block of text that's now decrypted of the message, and then the web server retrieves it from their, or the attacker retrieves it from their web server. So, and I'm sure you guys have seen it if you've used Outlook, for example, by default now. You know, if you get sent a message with images embedded in it, those aren't loaded automatically. You have to click in there to say, yes, load those up, right? You can also do things, though, where you get that encrypted block of text, you copy it out of your email program, and then just decrypt it on the command line and read it as text. So that's basically the way this works. And like I said, it's not a problem. It's not a flaw with PGP itself and SMIME itself, but really how the email clients have implemented this and how we have them set up to load remote content automatically, which we've known for years has issues with it.
Yeah, it's interesting. We saw a flaw. We talked about Signal having that essentially cross-site scripting vulnerability. And in the past, we've actually reported on vulnerabilities in Signal that weren't really vulnerabilities in Signal. You know, we heard from the Signal team. They're like, it's not. It's the environment they get stuffed in that's often the cause of the vulnerability, right? The encryption behind PGP and SMIME in this case is sound, but it's the handling around that, right, in the applications and the operating system that often leads to these types of flaws. And Signal had some, well, it wasn't issues in Signal, but, you know, basically being dropped on an Android device, you can only be as secure as your Android device. And we all know how that lacks insecurity.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I did think it was kind of funny, you know, as they were talking about recommendations, you know, one of the things the EFF mentioned was using Signal as an alternative for sending secure messages. But, you know, we've talked earlier about the CDNs clamping down on Signal for using domain fronting to, you know, hide what they're doing from essentially from sensors and things like that. And then you mentioned earlier the Electron framework and a code injection flaw in Signal itself in the desktop version of the app. You're still subject to those issues. Obviously, you know, Signal can do an update and they're good to go. We've got vendors here making updates, you know, to how they handle this type of data. So it's not the end of the world. It's, you know, some of the headlines, I mean, first thought when I read it was, holy cow, there's a flaw with PGP itself. That's not the case.
No, it's definitely not. Yeah. Again, yeah, it's in that handling of other applications, which tends to be problematic.
Exactly. So in here in the show notes, I've got the link to some commentary from Bruce Schneier, Graham Cluley, as well as the EFF, and a link to the actual research paper written by the attackers. The first part of it, it was pretty easy to follow. Then they got into some other parts with CBC and other portion of encryption that, you know, they started breaking out the math formulas and stuff that went right over my head. But it's worth taking a look at, and it's worth, I think, you know, being informed of what's going on, because I could see folks blindly saying, you know, get rid of that encryption plugins and people default to sending things in the clear that they shouldn't. So, you know, you want to be educated on that and what you're passing on to your users and what they should do. So awesome. That is PGP.
Thank you so much, Jason. So let's try that again. Thank you so much, Jason. And thank you, everyone, for listening and watching this edition of Hack Naked News. See you next time.